from Rasi Govinda Das in Abu Dhabi. I could understand from Srimad Bhagavatam that Sri Prahlad Maharaj is fearless. He is a pure devotee of the Lord and does not ask for any material benefits from the Lord. But in the Nrisingha Kavacha mantra, it states that, O Lord, please protect me from west, east, north, etc. And there is also the Phalashruti, result of reciting the Kavacha, which states that one attains material benedictions like good sons, wealth, long life, etc. How to understand these two different modes of Prahlad Maharaj? I'm not sure that Nrisingha Kavacha is ascribed to Prahlad Maharaj. Did you read that? I don't see that it's said by him. It may be prayed by someone else. So different people may approach the Lord at different levels of consciousness. Someone may approach Nrisimhadev, please protect me from all material dangers. And Prahlad Maharaj says, what is that? Naivod vijay paradurateya vaitaranyas tvadvirya vayana katamrita magna chittam. Said, I'm not afraid of death or anything in this world because I'm just absorbed in chanting your glories. So that's... But materialistic people, they may pray to Nrisimha, protect me. And they identify with the body, so they pray like that. And that's also... much better than not praying to Nrisimhadev. But actually this Nrisimha Kavacha, I don't see that in our Gauriya line, I don't know that anyone's particularly recommended it. It may be that householders, they may pray like this. Srila Prabhupada in his commentary on Kunti's prayers says that somehow the householders, they may also be embarrassed. They may pray to the Lord for some material benediction also, because they have their families to look after. So that may be there. Even if Prahlad said this, then we can take it that he's not personally concerned with all these things, but he may do so to teach others also. So there's no contradiction. There are different things stated in Shastra for different people on different levels. Srimad Bhagavatam is a higher Shastra than Nrisingha Kavacha, because Srimad Bhagavatam promotes pure devotional service to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even therein, there are some sops for materialistic people. You know what that word sop means? Maybe many English-speaking people don't know. It's a word used, it's an English word, but it's used more in Indian English. You know that word? They talk about electoral sops. That means before the election, the party will give TVs to everyone. So some kind of bribe to get your favor. One party says, we'll give the children in the school one egg a day, and then the other party says, we'll give them two eggs a day. Then you say, we give three eggs a day, and then it goes on. Then they all get salmonella, as one kind of disease caused by eating eggs. Hare Krishna. The party that was giving out TVs, and then the head of that party is in Tamil Nadu. He made his own TV station, so he can promote his own line through. And now everyone's got a TV, now they can get our propaganda. But that TV station now, through Damodar Gauranga, is now doing the Ramanuja TV series. And guess who's overseeing it? Karunanidhi himself. At the end of his life, he's... becoming somewhat inclined to Vaishnavism. Let's hope he gets... Anyway, I won't say too much because I have to go back to India and he's still a very powerful person. We wish him all the best. Hare Krishna. Yeah, anything else? According to taste, may we worship. Yeah, that's true. That's true in the highest level, and it's also true at every level. Different people are attracted to different, even within ISKCON, people are attracted to different groups and different gurus. What to speak of, there are so many different organizations. Why do some people go to different, they don't come to us, they go to different religious organizations? It's also a question of personal taste, which is one reason why we stress so much on understanding philosophically, because in the conditioned state, our taste is not in line with our best self-interest. It's impelled by karma, by material desire, which is jnanamavrittadehinam, which covers our pure consciousness. So in the beginning, we should be very careful not to follow our own mind. But that is there. And even when we're discussing Siddhanta, just like I'm saying, the Advaitavad, and then there are different strains of, especially Ramanuja and Madhva and their followers have contested Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad. But ultimately, I mean, there were people, especially Madhva, he converted so many people from Advaitavad. And Shankara himself converted people from the Vedic Mimamsa followers to his Advaitavad. But mostly people follow, it's what they feel like, even after discussing so much philosophy. This we find also in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when discussing with the Mayavadis of Varanasi. They admitted afterwards, yes, actually what you said is right, but we know that, but we were just following because it's our sampradaya. You just become part of a group or a party, and yeah, this is our line, this is what we do. We don't try to find the truth of it. What's actually the truth? Sampradaya avarod. It's in line with our party, so we go along with it. That's what they said. So a lot of times, even philosophically, it doesn't seem to be much use discussing because people follow what they want to. It's not a good way to find the truth. Because we're in ignorance, and then how are we going to find the truth? By following what we want. By following what we want, that's why we're in ignorance. That is our ignorance. And at the highest levels, when devotees are fully surrendered to Krishna, there are devotees worshipping Narayana in Vaikuntha. There are devotees worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. Within Vrindavan, some like to worship him as they become a cow to serve Krishna in that way, or they become a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl or a motherly figure or fatherly figure. So the different tastes also. Yeah, so. Yeah, for Tamil devotees, it seems that by their culture and their conditioning, they're much inclined to rituals more than the chanting. Well, it's not only in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Yeah, South India, there's the Shaivas are also full in rituals. It's a very ritualistic approach. in South India. Maybe they're born here because one reason they're born here is because they have that consciousness from a previous life. So we tend to get born in a situation that is congruent with our desires and our outlook. But that can change also, just like Chaitanya. But there was no Sankirtan, mass Sankirtan in Bengal. Now there is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced that. And we see many devotees from a Tamil background, they love chanting and dancing Hare Krishna. In the beginning they feel very reserved, but after some time you'll find they love to get into it. So that may change also in course of time.
But it seems to some extent they can go along with.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah, rituals, that can be there. We're not against that. There are so many rituals. Even Hari Bhakti Vilas is full of so many rituals. Of course, none of our acharyas practiced even half of them, but it is allowed. That can be there. Deity worship is a ritualistic form of worship. Of course, even in our deity worship, it's even though there are many formulas to be followed, it's still quite a different mood to that. The Vrindavan mode of worship is still quite a different mood to that of South India. In the Vrindavan mood of deity worship, there's definitely the mood of bhav, is prakat bhava, manifest feelings, is very strong. And that's got a lot to do with the whole of Vrindavan and the whole atmosphere and the whole culture there. I'm talking here about Vrindavan as manifested in this world in the last 500 years or so. There have been so many devotees. It's a land of open, manifested feelings for Krishna, whereas reserve is much more, maryada is much more the mood of South India. That's also the. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Sweet.